next up is Tony Wilkins. He's going to be talking about surviving the economy, tips for generating revenue for small business owners. And I'm sure all of our listeners will want to hear about that. First, I'll kick off by sharing a little bit of his bio. He's a man of tireless spirit and multiple talents. Tony is the author of Telemarketing Success for Small and Mid-Sized Firms, The Single Person's Cookbook, and a new book, Surviving the Economy, will be published in 2012. Tony is a regular contributor to the SF Examiner, which, in case you didn't know, is in San Francisco. He's been featured on The View from the Bay and The 10% Show. He teaches sales, business development, and cold calling classes for the Oakland Business Development Center. As a screenwriter and producer, his credits include The Mo Diaries, Couples in Bolinas, Zelma Spirits, The Wyndhams, and Sand and Water, and the upcoming Lonesome Town. He launched his own radio show called The Small Business Forum recently. Welcome to the show, Tony. How are you?
I am well. I'm a little hoarse, but I think I'll live. How are you?
Well, I am doing wonderful. It's a beautiful day in Atlanta, Georgia. The sun's out. Convertible top's down. My life's
okay,
very
I'm a
nice.
Little envious.
Don't worry.
Not,
the sun will come
your
way.
It's not that pretty
here. No. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. But San Francisco is a beautiful town. So
absolutely.
Yes, it is.
Of the best.
That's right. One of the best. So you are going to talk to us today about surviving the economy. So this is a topic that is near and dear to a lot of small business owners' hearts. So I want to ask you, how do you suggest that small business owners jumpstart sales?
Well, let me backtrack and tell you how this sort of came about. The Surviving the Economy is actually the name of the book that you mentioned that's coming out later on this year. And it came out of me teaching a number of workshops and asking salespeople and business owners, what are you currently doing to survive the economy? And what I found was that a lot of them didn't really have a clue. They didn't have any sort of way to minimize the damage as far as bills coming in and bills going out and not a lot of money coming in. And so they were in survival mode and they were panicking. And so one of the tips that I offer to people is first take a breath. Don't panic, because it's real easy to do that. But also figure out, go back to what you did when you first started the business. Who's your target market? Who do you want to sell to? Who are the people that are going to purchase from you within probably the next 1 to 3 months? And then start sending emails and start picking up the phone and calling them and telling them, hey, we're still in business. We still want your business. And what can we do to get your business? What I found also was that a lot of salespeople really hate picking up the phone. You know, so, and I'm a big advocate of, you know, it does you no good to send out literature and send out emails if you don't even know if you got to the right person. So you got to pick up the phone, you've got to talk to the right person, you've got to make sure that, you know, they've read your information, and then just really ask probing questions to see whether or not there's a need for your service, and stop selling to people that don't need you. That's another big one.
And, well, sometimes it's hard to know who needs you and who doesn't need you until you pick up the phone and actually call.
Until you pick up the phone. And that's the only way that you're really going to know. So you're going to have to, you know, roll up your sleeves and do, you know, the grunt work and just get back to basics.
Well, do you have any suggestions for people that have call reluctance? Sometimes that phone can weigh like 500 pounds to salespeople.
Oh, absolutely. And we all have it. I won't talk to anybody until I have a cup of coffee. You know, that's kind of my thing.
Yeah, me too.
But you sort of have to get out of that, particularly if you're in survival mode. And if you're a small business, that can mean that you may be out of business within 6 months. So you're going to have to get over your feeling of call reluctance or, oh, I'm going to do everything. That's the other thing. A lot of salespeople and small business owners will do everything but sell. So they will, if they work from home, they'll wash the dishes, they'll do the vacuuming, they'll do the laundry, they'll do a lot of administrative work, but they won't do what it really takes to stay in business, which is to sell. So your number one priority is to sell. Get in front of people, close the deal. That's it.
Now, do you think that every business needs to be doing telemarketing?
Well, that's the interesting thing. In my workshop, I always teach that every business does some form of telemarketing. What most people don't realize is that there are actually five different types of telemarketing. There's appointment setting, lead generation, sales, market research, and customer service. Anything that has to do with you marketing your business over the phone is telemarketing. So chances are, if you're in business, you're doing at least one or two of those types of telemarketing. So, yeah, every firm is doing telemarketing. They need to be doing telemarketing.
It might
be
worth
the days of sitting around waiting for the phone to ring. That's over.
Oh, yeah. And maybe people should keep in mind when they're picking up that 500-pound phone that it's really just to set the appointment to go and see them in person so they don't have to sell them over the phone.
The one tip that I offer as far as getting over call reluctance is, well, there are two tips. Number one, pretend that you're speaking with someone that you feel really comfortable with. Number two, the only thing you're doing is asking a series of probing questions to determine whether or not there is a need. That's all you want to know. Is there a need for me to meet? Your time is very valuable to begin with, just like theirs. So you really want to decide, is this someone that I want to get in my car and drive all the way to meet with, particularly if there is no budget and there's no need and they're not looking to do anything within 1 to 3 months? Do I need to meet with them? So all you're doing is asking questions. If you can do that, then it makes that process a lot easier.
Now, do you recommend leaving voicemail messages or waiting until you actually talk in person with the person?
Well, I recommend leaving one voicemail message, and then that's it. And then the rest of the time, you can call them, but you don't necessarily need to leave a voicemail message. You can also send them an email. You can also talk to the receptionist to find out, are they on vacation? Are they in meetings? When's the best time to reach them? A lot of times they will tell you, well, you know, they've been on vacation for the last month, or, you know, they're traveling on business, and so this isn't a really good time to talk to them. And that's okay, because that's what you want to know. Is this someone that I should talk to right now? If they aren't, they go to the bottom of the pile, and you prioritize your leads. That's the other thing. Here's the secret to cold calling and effective cold calling. Is you never start with cold calls. You always start with whatever is in your database already. People that you've sent literature to, people that you've spoken with, people that you've met with, but they haven't purchased from you. Those are the people that you want to start with first, and then you go into your cold calls. Does that make sense?
Yes, I could spend all day talking about tips for sales with you. It's a topic near and dear to my heart.
Do you ever call them and say, hey, did you get my stuff, even though you didn't send it? Because they always say they didn't, you know, as a way to blow you off, well, so you don't even bother sending it?
Actually, that's a little tip that I teach, or trick that I teach. And that is, if you know you haven't sent any literature to them, and you ask, did you get it? And I always ask three questions. Did you get it? Have you read it? What did you think about it? And I know that nothing has gone out, and they say, yeah, I did get it, and blah, blah, blah. Then you, excuse me, then you know chances are you're not going to get an appointment with them. And that's okay, too, because you don't want to speak with those people. You want to speak with those people that have a need and are open to a meeting. Not interested, but open.
Right. So, you know, a tip for people that are kind of in survival mode, which is what we're talking about today, is to get your mindset right, because if they're having a hard time, they're struggling, they're already at a disadvantage because they're scared.
Their attitude's not right.
So they have to
have an attitude adjustment.
Have an attitude adjustment. Well, and, you know, look at phone calls and setting up appointments as the way I explain it to people is you just go down the line like, no, 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 yes, okay, then I'll stop and talk to you. But look at the nine no's that it takes to get to the yes as, you know, deposits in your bank account. Because when you do get to the yes, you know, the odds are you're going to close them. So all those no's were actually like $20 bills going towards your $100.
Right, to whatever, you know, your objective is.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, now,
and, you know, you have to figure that what's the alternative? The alternative is that you generate no revenue and you go out of business.
Homelessness,
and you have to
divorce.
Really be clear with is this something that you want to do? I mean, if you're not looking to make any money, that's one thing. Then nothing or no one can force you to do it. But if you really want to your business to work, you're going to have to get over yourself and pick up the phone and set up some meetings and, you know, go and meet with some people. That's it.
I hear you. So what are your three tips to remember when you're in survival mode?
Well, first and foremost, don't panic. And it's, I know it's really easy to do that, but don't panic. Take a breath. Take a couple of them. Do some yoga. Do some Pilates. Go for a long walk. Do something. Get your head out of what you're currently doing, out of the business mode. Particularly if you work from home, it's really easy to feel isolated and alone and you're not quite sure what to do. Secondly, you have to have a plan. If you're going to get out of survival mode, how are you going to do that? You got yourself into this. Now it's time to get yourself out. And business is cyclical. I mean, so we all get to that point where we sort of wake up one day and say, oh, gee, we don't have any clients. How am I going to, you know, how am I going to pay next month's rent or whatever? The other thing is minimize the damage. You want to, if you know that it may be 1 to 3 months before you close a deal, you may want to start talking with your creditors or people that you pay on a regular basis and say, look, can I defer this for a month? Can I pay the bare minimum, particularly on credit cards? Can I pay the bare minimum for the next couple of months just so that you stay current, you don't get behind, but you're keeping as much of your cash in your pocket until you start generating revenue? So you want to slow down the process a little bit until the money starts coming.
Gotcha.
Does it make sense?
Well, yes, it makes perfect sense to manage things up front.
Right. Get ahead of it.
Yeah, if you don't ignore it and you face it head on, you stand a better chance of coming out of survival mode sooner. And that's the key. You also have to tell people that you want business. You're looking for business. Get out there and network with people more. One of the things that I like to do is I like to host seminars. So I teach what I know. I've been doing this for over 30 years. So I teach workshops. When things are slow, I teach more workshops. And I get in front of those target people that are more likely to purchase other services and purchase my books or other services from me.
So you were doing this before cell phones, right? Doing rotary phones when you started, right?
Rotary.
Well, you're right.
Workers' comp for that index finger pain.
That's right.
Absolutely. Smile and dial.
Smile and dial. So how did you get your start in your business?
Well, I started, I guess, when I was 16, 17 years old, and I started selling radio airtime, which is kind of ironic considering what I do now. And I was really horrible at it. I didn't like it, but it was a paycheck. And pretty soon I was bumped up to manager, and I realized that there was a better way to do what I was doing. There's a more efficient way to do it. And so I started teaching, and I started, I opened up my own business. I started teaching. I started writing about it. My passion has always been writing. So, you know, to really get the word out, I published my first book, and everything, the rest is history.
All right. So you're involved in books and film work and radio show networking events. So you've had a well-rounded
career there. A lot of
plate
spinning.
Well, I get bored really easily. So.
You're on the ADD career track.
I figure, you know what? There's no excuse for not really accomplishing everything that I want to do in life. And, you know, I get an idea and I say, well, what's the best way to do this? What's the best way to make this happen? So, you know, maybe a book may not work as well, but a film will. Lately, the radio has been taking up a lot of my time and energy, which is fantastic, and it's become more successful than I ever could have imagined, because we've got a six-month waiting list for people to come on the show. And I'm getting inundated with phone calls and emails, on a daily basis. But who knew? I had no intention of going into radio.
That's right.
This was something that just sort of
came out of nowhere. A surprise accomplishment, that's what I call those.
Yeah, that's good.
Absolutely. Whether I want it or not.
There you go. Just face it, you're popular. Just accept your fate.
It's the first time for everything, I guess.
All right. So now I'm going to ask you what your X factor is. You know, what is it about you that helps you stand out in your field?
I think because I'm always curious and I'm always talking to people and listening, you know, I'm generally and genuinely curious about everything. And I ask people questions and, you know, I find out what, you know, one person is doing, and I'm really, am clear about, wanting to do as much as I possibly can to sort of test myself. Can I do, when I published my first book, had never done it. When I did my first film, had no training, in film work, but I knew that I wanted to do it. And so I think passion, and I think that's something you can't fake. I think people, they get it, they understand, and they appreciate it when you are passionate about who you are and what you do, and you like who you are and what you do.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think that's what it is.
Well, that's the way I go through life, too. I love testing to see what can truly happen if you just put your mind to something.
If you just put your mind to it and say, well, I want to try that. I've never tried it, but, you know, who knows? And you never know. And, I mean, you get one shot at this, you know, unless you believe in reincarnation, but you get one shot.
Unless you're Shirley MacLaine.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
But 10 or 11 shots.
Shot at this,
10 or 11 shots. Well, that one didn't work out.
Try this again.
That's funny. So what advice do you have for the listeners who want to achieve extraordinary success?
Well, I think you have to believe in extraordinary opportunities and and those that are not presented to you, those opportunities, you have to create. What do you want to do? What do you want to get out of your life? This is your life. What do you want to get out of it? And then figure out a way to make it happen. You know, I don't believe in no. I believe in what else. All right, this didn't work. You know, what else can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And so, excuse me, as I said, I'm getting a little hoarse. You know, you sort of have to say, what do I want for myself? What's going to make me happy? What accomplishments can I have? What can I really accomplish if I just put my mind to it?
That's the start of
it,
Al.
That's it.
All right.
That's enough.
You know,
that'll get
you.
The job done. All right. If it's meant to be, it's up to me.
There you go.
Absolutely.
It's a good bumper sticker.
Absolutely.
Maybe I should make one.
T-shirt.
There you go. Well, Tony, we really appreciate you being on the show today. You've been a very interesting guest, and I'm sorry about your hoarse throat.
That's okay. It's an occupational hazard.
That's right.
You know, it's going to happen.
Get some tea.
But no, thank you for having me, and I appreciate it. And best of luck to you on the show. And, you know, I'm happy to come on anytime you want.
All right. Well, thanks, Tony, so much, and we will talk to you next time.
Any website?
Oh, I'm sorry, Tony. Yeah.
Oh.
Give us your website. My bad.
Oh, okay. So for the radio show, go to ogtalkradio.com/Tony Wilkins. And I'm usually on the air on Fridays at 3:30 Pacific. You can also go to Business Development Solutions, intl.com.
Guess what, Georgia? Recycling just got easier thanks to the team at WastePro. Whether it's tossing items into your curbside container at home, being environmentally friendly at the workplace, or properly disposing of your recyclables while at local events, WastePro can serve all your recycling collection and processing needs. WastePro also provides residential, commercial, solid waste collection, processing, and disposal. WastePro cares for the communities we serve and truly are the waste professionals. Call us in Athens at 706-227-3222. Or in Atlanta at 770-777-1447.